Good morning once again, and welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. Our scripture text is taken from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 5 will serve as our text this morning. To whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we should be alike? The scripture continues, they lavish gold out of the bag and weigh silver on the scales. They hire a goldsmith and he makes it a god. They prostrate themselves, yes, they worship. They bear it on the shoulder, they carry it and set it in its place and it stands. From its place it shall not move. Though one cries out to it, yet it cannot answer, nor save him out of his trouble. So the context of our scripture deals with the idolatry of Israel in Isaiah's day, 700 plus years before Christ. People then, like today, want a God that they can see, touch, and feel. You know, God revealed himself that way in the person of Jesus Christ, who himself said, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." I suppose if our Lord was still walking the earth this day, that people would want a little more. Or they would want something else, or they would want something different. Just as they did when the Son of God was physically here. Now, in our exposition this morning, we shall make four observations. They may seem obvious to many of you, but consider their applications for your own life where you're at today. First, God cannot be found in inanimate objects. We have that in the context of our text. Secondly, no human being or religious figure can be compared to the Almighty God. Now, maybe we don't do this consciously, but from time to time, we may actually do this or begin down that road without even realizing it. Third, God ought never to be brought down to our level in our thinking. Fourth, if the God of your understanding is anything other than Jesus Christ, the way that he is revealed in the Bible, you may be sincere, but you are sincerely wrong. Finally, we shall learn what the proper response to God looks like. And I pray by the end of this that your worship and mine will be even more along the lines of in spirit and in truth. God cannot be found in inanimate objects. The children of Israel, once Moses left to go up on the mountain to receive the law, they decided that they were going to make a golden molded calf and call it God. But the living invisible God, who did not dwell in form, much less in the form of a calf, called his people out for their idolatry. The heathen nations have tried similar things through the ages. You've heard of the Philistines, right? It is from the Philistines that the name Palestine is derived. That land of the Philistines is the coastal land where we have Gaza and all of that. And from Philistine, we get Palestine. There's no such thing as a Palestinian in the Bible. In fact, there's no such thing as a Palestinian person, identity. A Palestine was simply a name that was given to the land by the Romans in order to destroy the identity of the Jewish people. And then the British tried the same thing in the 1900s. Well, in the history of these people, these Philistines, they had their god. They called them the fish god. His name was Dagon. And there's an interesting story, a humorous story, I think, in 1 Samuel chapter 5. And the Philistines took the Ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. And when the Philistines took the Ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. So they take the Ark of God and they put it right next to the fish god. And when the people of Ashdod arose early in the morning, there was Dagon fallen on its face to the earth before the Ark of the Lord. So they took Dagon and set it in its place again. And when they arose early the next morning, there was Dagon fallen on its face to the ground before the Ark of the Lord. The head of Dagon and both the palms of its hands were broken off on the threshold. Only Dagon's torso was left of it. Therefore, neither the priest of Dagon nor any who come into Dagon's house tread on the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod to this day. Now, some New Agers have come along with the idea that God is everywhere and in everything. You may have heard this. This is associated with the New Age movement, the Goddess movement, the Wiccans, and this kind of thing. Very, very popular today. It's a very, very convenient way for people to avoid accountability to the living God. The idea is that God is everywhere and in everything, from trees to stones. But God is not the creation. God is the creator. And the scripture has something to say about this as well. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. The reason people worship the creation rather than the creator is told to us in the scriptures. To suppress the truth, not to have to deal with reality, and not to have to be accountable to God. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power in Godhead, so that they are without excuse. In other words, God has given sufficient revelation through his creation, such that anybody who wants to find God and is sincere in seeking God will be able to find him. And so God reveals himself through his creation so that people who seek him will be given more revelation. The question arises, well, what about the bushman? I'm not talking about George and Barbara. I'm talking about, you know, the terminology, those who live out in the bush, you know, in, you know, whether it be in Australia or Africa or South America, wherever it is. I don't mean to use the term in a derogatory way. What about the people who've never heard? Well, the Bible teaches that God has given sufficient revelation through His creation that those who seek Him will find Him. God will send a missionary there. God will take care of that guy and that lady. The question is, what about you? No human being or religious figure can be compared to Almighty God. In the book of Acts, we have a historical event which illustrates what God thinks of putting a man on the pedestal that is rightfully his and his alone. In the book of Acts, chapter 12, beginning in verse 21, we read, "So on a set day, Herod," this is King Herod, "arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and gave an oration to them." He gave a beautifully inspiring speech. "And the people kept shouting, 'The voice of a God and not of a man.' And then immediately, an angel of the Lord struck him, because he did not give glory to God, and he was eaten by worms and died." Imagine if God did this today. I suppose that we would be rid of most of our politicians. See, many tend to respond in similar fashion in these days also. Consider the veneration of certain political leaders by their followers. There's been much of this throughout history. And we see a lot of this today, even over this past decade. It is also taught in the Roman Catholic Church the devilish doctrine of the infallibility of the Pope, that he is 100% correct regarding spiritual matters. This is Catholic dogma. Now, the Pope is a good man, but he is not a perfect man. No human being or religious figure can be compared to the Almighty God, whether it be by his oration or his teachings. Many folks have been led astray from the Christian faith when their favorite preacher, pastor, or so-called prophet fell prey to sin. And this is why the central verse in the Bible is this: "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." Do not confuse the man of God, however good he may be, with the God of man, or you are bound to be disappointed. "Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Let my teaching drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, as raindrops on the tender herb, and as showers on the grass. For I proclaim the name of the Lord. Ascribe greatness to our God. He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, a God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is he." A third observation application this morning is this: God ought not to be brought down to our level in our thinking. Sometimes we can do this without even realizing it. Here's one example, and this is something I've heard even out of the mouths of Bible-believing Christians. The Lord of all creation being referred to as the man upstairs, or the man in the sky. What are these phrases but attempts to bring God lower? that we may think that we are nearly his equal. God is not the man upstairs, but he is the God of heaven, the Lord of heaven and earth. Not the first heaven only, of the sky and the firmament, not of the second heaven only, the universe, but the third heaven also, which in the Bible is called paradise. And indeed, it is true what God has said. My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Contend with God in prayer, if you like. This is a good thing, so long as it's done reverently. But consider that your finite mind cannot fully understand the infinite mind and the infinite will. Accept this truth if you're able, and save yourself much angst of mind, which is caused by unnecessarily and sometimes sinfully disputing with your Maker over those things which you do not understand. If you want an example of this, just take a read of the last few chapters of the book of Job, and you'll see what I'm driving at here. Now, if the God of your understanding is anything other than Jesus Christ, as revealed in the Bible, then you are sincere, maybe so, but you are sincerely wrong. For there is no name under heaven which has been given by which men might be saved except for that of Jesus Christ, who himself said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Left to our own devices, each one of us will create our own God, will create our own Jesus, the God or the Jesus of our own understanding. We will find will be a lot like us, and will approve of those sins which we enjoy, and disapprove of those sins which we despise. But God has revealed himself differently in the Scriptures. He is a God of his own understanding, and he has revealed of himself those things which are necessary for our spiritual and day-to-day lives. Thank God that he inspired holy men to write the Bible so that we can get the truth if we want the truth. We're very blessed in this country, in this day and age. Every one of us has not one, but sometimes two, three, four, and five Bibles. We got our church Bible. We've got the Bible we read. We've got our study Bible. We've got the Bible that was given to us, that somebody wrote in, that sits on the shelf, that we can't read because we can't see anymore. Amen? I'm getting there, but I'm in denial. This is why people who wear glasses are smarter than people who don't wear glasses, because the people who wear glasses are smart enough to admit that they can't see. You know, back years ago, they didn't have a printing press. People were dying to get their hands on a printed copy of the Bible, or even a book of it. Back in Jesus' day, they had these long, long scrolls that would be kept in the synagogue. Only the very rich could afford to have a Torah in their home. How blessed are we? And then ask yourself, how often do you take advantage of the blessing that God has given you? That you've got God's entire truth available to you. Whenever and wherever you like. And the freedom to read it, by the way, to boot. So then, as we move to a close, let me say this. If you will liken and compare Jesus to God, then you will get it right. The sinless Son of God, Himself divine, is God's exact likeness, His perfect image. To whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we should be alike? Isaiah had already answered that question in the very same book. And his response was this: Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. That was Isaiah's response. God, you are so awesome. I don't know what to liken you to. So he just fell on his knees. The Philippian jailer's response was this: What must I do to be saved? This God is so powerful and so awesome, but yet I hear that I can have a relationship with Him through prayer and that I can know Him. How do I do that? It starts with simple belief, simple faith. Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And then take it from there. So simple that even a child can understand it. Isaiah gave his answer. The Philippian jailer gave his. What is your answer to the question? To whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we should be alike? Dear Heavenly Father, we stand, we sit, we kneel in awe of your majesty. May it be impressed upon us that you are God, all-knowing, all-powerful, all-truthful, all-graceful, all-loving, all-merciful, full of grace and truth. And yet, you have been mindful of us. You yourself, in the person of your Son, have come down and bridged the gap between us and you. with your very own blood, that we can know you, that we can have a relationship with you, and that we can be with you forever. Even more than that, Lord God, you have given us blessings beyond measure. You have answered many of our prayers. You have heard them all. You have had compassion on us in our time of need. And you are a very present help in trouble today. We thank you for being there for us. We thank you for communicating with us in so many ways, through answered prayer, through your Spirit, through your Word. May we never take our worship for granted. We worship you and you alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.